like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? What do you think?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of red cum in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love beats never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What's up, film fans, and welcome to this bonus edition, another bonus edition of the Cinema Movie Podcast, as we talk The Amazing Spider-Man. I'm your host, Juan, and I'm joined with the guys, the cast, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Edward.
Swinging in from the movie podcast of the Cinema, you know.
Swinging in, and what a Thursday, and I honestly cannot wait to dig into this movie. You know, last week we wrapped up the Sam Raimi trilogy, talking Spider-Man 3. So go back and listen to that wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't cry, little goblins.
And then, you know, we wrapped it up. We also, this past Monday, wrapped up the Scream trilogy. So a little bow on top of the trilogies this past week. So I think this is going to be a fun conversation, maybe, about The Amazing Spider-Man. For those of you that have never heard or listened to any of our bonus episodes, these are a quick get-in, get-out, one-night stand conversation of movies. We get in, we get out, and we don't leave a tip at the door, and we, you know, we have our 2 cents. We throw our 2 cents in. So if you guys want to find us on the social media, it is facebook.com/TheCinemaMoviePodcast. The Instagram is one word if you want to see all of my recent watches, Cinema Movie Podcast. And then the Twitter is @Cinnamon405. So yeah, listen to all of our episodes wherever you listen to podcasts at. Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, and now thanks to the Prescribed Films Network, Apple Podcast. So let's dig into it. The Amazing Spider-Man sits at 6.9 on IMDb, 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. This Metascore is at 66%, while the Google users is at 79%. This had a budget of $230 million, and it grossed a little over $760 million at the box office with a July 3rd, 2012 release date. So let's go ahead and mention off some of the cast members. Directed by Mark Webb, starring Andrew Garfield, Emma Stone, Zach, I'm going to need some help with a lizard's name.
Rhys Ifans.
Yeah, not only that, but I feel sorry for his parents having to, you know...
He must have had a bad childhood.
He did. He turned into a lizard, probably, in real life.
He rose up above it, though.
Dennis Leary, Martin Sheen, Sally Field. So let's dig into The Amazing Spider-Man. After Peter Parker is bitten by a genetically altered spider... He gains newfound spider-like powers and ventures out to save the city from a mysterious lizard creature. Zach, we'll start with you. Do you remember seeing this in the theater, and how was it for this, rewatching it for this podcast?
Yeah, I did see this in the theater opening weekend. It must have been July 4th when this came out. I remember liking it. I thought it was a really kind of a cool another version of Spider-Man. I've seen it one or two times since it's in its entirety, and then for this review, I still think it's a likable film.
Edward, what about you? Did you get to check this out opening weekend? If not, was it for this rewatch?
The only opening weekend I got to check this out was opening, like, the first week of the DVD or Blu-ray, whatever it had. I think Blu-ray. I did get to check it out within that, so I think within like 6 to 8 months, if not a bit sooner. I thought it was great. I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I was a little sore on Toby because I was just like, man, he was doing great. But at the same time, like, let's see how this guy does. And at the time, I thought, you know, Andrew Garfield done pretty good. I thought he was kind of quirky and all that. And I mean, honestly, even to this viewing, he's still got the quirkiness. He's still got that likability factor in my eyes. There weren't really many things wrong with this, to me at least. But yeah, like, it's a good watch.
I have some spider webs to pick with this film. It's almost like what Sam Raimi did wrong in his movies, this trilogy, or these two movies did right. But what Sam Raimi did right, these guys kind of did wrong. So I still felt
taken.
I'm a little disappointed in this recent watch. I did, however, like you, Zach, got to check this out opening weekend. I think I went July 4th morning. Kind of made me a little queasy because of how harsh the camera angles were for this, you know, first time 3D Spider-Man 3D. It was swinging. I didn't see it in 3D, but it really was different camera angles.
Mm-hmm.
So I really did enjoy that aspect of it, but I don't know, on this recent watch, I kind of found some stuff that I didn't quite enjoy. So so therefore, you know, I'm kind of got some kind of bones to pick with this movie, but Let's dig into it. In the first 15 minutes, you know, you kind of get sorts a different side of Peter. You get a childhood background. You get introduced to little Peter and his mother and his mother and dad for the first time, really. For the first time. Did you guys enjoy, you know, getting a different side of Peter's background that we really haven't seen in other films?
I'm going to say I did enjoy the parents aspect just because the story background of how, like, he is good for the spider powers, for that matter. I did enjoy that aspect of it. And I mean, that comes in later in the story anyways. But I mean, it was kind of here and there. Like,
I feel like It wasn't needed. And it was like, if you cut all the parents scenes out of it, you save yourself 15, 20 minutes of the movie. Zach, what about you?
I liked the parents, addition in these films. I mean, I know we get basically a prologue in this movie and then what happens to him in the second film. I think it was kind of necessary just because we didn't see any, they didn't mention his parents at all in the Raimi trilogy. So it's just like, let's just do a little wink, wink nod to what might be going on with them. And then, you know, probably one of my big complaints in the movie is, for me, I just don't think we needed to do the origin again, since we were just like 10 years removed from the original.
Not even 10 years removed from really the third one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 6 years?
Yeah.
It's the same movie studio. Yeah. It's the same, it's Marvel, and it's the same freaking superhero. I don't think you needed to do another reboot.
Yeah.
I feel like you could have just, like we talked about last week, you could have just kind of kicked off this in a whole nother limelight. Like, not only could it have been Spider-Man 4, just you could have just hinted that this was the fourth film in the franchise and still call it The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do the Uncle Ben story. You didn't have to do the parent story.
No.
You could have done a nice hour and 45-minute action film of Spider-Man. Because guess what? In the third film, they set up Dr. Connors.
Yeah, that's true.
They set up Gwen Stacy.
Yep.
Which, I mean, some people have speculations on that, because there's some comics to where Gwen Stacy is the original girlfriend, where MJ is the later in marriage of Peter Parker.
But
that's true. That's true. Yeah.
But this one, I mean, even then, you still don't have to. They didn't mention Mary Jane at all in this movie, and it worked.
Yeah, no. I was about to say, him and Emma Stone, which, I mean, credit to her as well, because she's got, like, a wonderful performing career.
10 times better than Kirsten Dunst.
But,
and they were dating at the time, so the chemistry was real.
And I was about to say, like, you know, a lot of the on-screen chemistry was true just because, exactly, they were dating at the time. I think at the beginning or halfway through this, I'm not sure. Through,
And then you get the mention of Oscorp. So this really, maybe I shouldn't have done this, but I did it anyway.
Uh-oh.
I sat and watched it as if I'm watching Spider-Man 4. Okay. And it, you know what?
It works.
Huh.
Other than taking out seeing Ben die again,
mm-hmm.
It really, really works.
Okay.
The biggest part, one of his first things that he does, or first perps that he tries to go catch, is his uncle's killer with the star tattoo on his left left wrist, if I'm not mistaken.
I will say the killing of Ben Parker in this one was really, really bad.
Yeah, I feel like we're just glazing over. It's like, okay, this happened. Okay, we're past.
You blink one for 1 second, you miss it.
And Martin Sheen's gone.
Yeah. Which, I will say...
At least it wasn't like a... What's the one with Leo and Matt Damon and all that he falls from the building?
Oh, The Departed. Oh, yeah.
At least it wasn't like that.
That would have been probably a better kill-off scene.
Oof.
I do enjoy the aunt and uncle more in this one. I think the casting of Sally Field and...
You get better actors.
Yeah.
Not only that, but just a bit younger, too, for that matter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, that kind of happens through all three, for that matter.
But I don't think... Yeah.
Two things that really hit me hard over this film was, I mean, the credit sequence is basically almost quote unquote copying or paying homage to Raimi's Spider-Man, because you kind of get like the web and like the title card and everything. And this one feels, I put in my notes, very MCU feeling, in that, I mean, there's so much secrecy, there's so much like threads that are going to lead to something else. And even like the tech at Oscorp is very Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
I enjoyed that one. This one feeling more like a superhero film.
Yeah.
The first one felt just, even though it was directed by Sam Raimi, maybe it was because of Danny Elfman doing the scores. It felt like a randomized Tim Burton film.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Yeah. It felt like a weird animatronic, just action flick.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man introduced.
Yeah.
This one feels more like a superhero-like film.
Yeah. And so, you know, we get, it basically in the first, like, I don't know, 30 minutes to 40 minutes, we get introduced to Parker, to Peter, we get Gwen Stacy, we get the Oscorp trip, which I thought was a fun scene. And then, what do we think of, you know, the villain, Kirk Connors, the human form, and what do we think of him as the quote-unquote lizard?
I thought that was awesome to include him like that, his disability for that, without having one of his arm, or part of his arm, as well as, you know, him being a mentor to both Peter in Waves, and then Gwen Stacy as well, you know, in the literal lab. I thought that was really cool. You know, but the lizard was... ruthless. I mean, honestly, very aggressive. And I mean, you know, you could kind of tell that simply due to the fact of how he would talk after he started going through his cycle about, you know, oh, a lizard's not a prey, it's a predator.
Zach, you gonna tell me you enjoyed the lizard?
You didn't.
I kind of more enjoyed the human part of it than the.
I enjoyed the battles. The fights between them I thought were good. Just the kind of the whole stupid of...
I like the sequences in the fight battles. Don't get me wrong.
But I didn't like his, I can save them, I can turn them.
I didn't like his look either.
He was a CGI creation.
You would think so many years later, 2012, he would look a little bit better. But even if the CGI was top-notch, I still didn't like the way he was a dinosaur from the neck down. And then from the neck up, they tried to make him look more like a human lizard. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. As Dennis Leary says, if there was a dinosaur walking around the city, I would know about it.
Like, I just did not like the way the face looked.
What are the little things from the Land of the Lost? Kind of looked like that in the face to a small point.
Yeah.
With, like, steroid body.
I just don't think the lizard fits
well
as a main... And he never was a main villain in any of the other movies, or not movies, but animated series.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the lizard has always been just like a, like, really, that's the best we can come up with type villain. And so it's always been, yeah, obviously it'll be interesting to see what they do with him in No Way Home, but I mean, but in this one it's just kind of like, again, you kind of go back to the whole thing of, I have the ability to... use power not only to help me but to help people around me, and it just kind of goes to his mind.
I didn't like the transformation either, that he can go back and forth.
You thought he should just stick with if he should just stay there for like an hour.
If he becomes the lizard, he's the lizard.
Yeah,
I think he was kind of taken from both Doc Ock as well as Green Goblin, because, you know, Green Goblin, if I'm not mistaken, he had to keep injecting every now and then to keep his powers and
the gas or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think they were trying to kind of combine two characters with a new character in some ways. You know, the human aspect, the mentor aspect, like Doc Ock was in Spider-Man 2 Raimi trilogy, as well as, like I said, Green Goblin, you know, kind of the tech, or in this case, more chemical genius. But, yeah. Like, that's the only,
It's Johnny's not, it's not his favorite villain. We'll just say
I didn't say it's my favorite villain. I'm just saying.
I don't even think it should have been like, you should have switched it. Like, you should have made, the Lizard could have been like a part-timer, like how in Spider-Man 3 you had two or three villains.
Yeah.
That's how I wish maybe this movie would have.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that next week. So. No.
So it just goes downhill from here, huh?
Oh.
But, you know, what do we guys think? What do we guys think about the actual spider bite, the bite sequence, and then him kind of like the uncontrollable powers where like he's in the bathroom trying to brush his teeth and he's breaking the wall and the mirrors and everything.
Well, I feel like that's more realistic than than the first three.
And I think that the use of the spider sense was way better.
Don't get me started on the spider sense. I even
is
have
it bad?
I have it in my notes.
Okay.
The spider sense in this movie, in this one movie,
is ten times better than the trilogy
that you get before. Because it just, he can sense almost anything that's bad that's about to happen to him. To where in the first one,
get it one time and then it won't happen again for another hour and a half.
The writing was all over the walls. So that's where this one did some really, really good things, to where the first three didn't do anything for me at all.
I'm going to say, yeah, I definitely do agree. I love the difference of thought of the powers, for that matter, as in gaining them and learning them, for that matter. Because literally, in I don't remember what comic it was, but if I'm not mistaken, Doc Ock actually gets Peter's physical form and like trades bodies with him, and literally, I forget the villain as well, but knocks someone's jaw literally off with one punch.
But Doc Ock's not in this one.
Well, no. But I'm saying like the difference in the control of strength, for that matter, you know.
What'd you think of Dennis Leary as Captain Stacy?
I liked him. I thought he was a great, like, comedic relief presence.
Not only that, to me, he was one of the better
character
cast members of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy the Lizard at all, but I did enjoy, what'd you guys think of him making his tech?
The montage of that?
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of, so, Sam Raimi's trilogy in the organic powers, I like personally more. There are some comics that do have that, as well as in this, you know, him, like you just said, him actually inventing or creating the tech, and then upgrading it even at later iterations, for that matter. I thought it was really, really ingenious, just because, you know, it shows the adaptability, the intelligence, and just the overall mindset of this, of Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, for that matter, you know, trying to adapt and overcome.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy, I enjoy the, him, he's making the web slingers, because he's using all these different types of materials, until finally he gets, like, the right combination for him. I think, you know, in the Raimi film, at least in the first film, he kind of draws out the suit, and then next thing you know, he's kind of doing the saving people around the city montage. This one, he's kind of doing both simultaneously.
He gets in a hurry of trying to find the killer, so at first he just goes out, you know, face blaring.
It reminds me a little bit of the scene in Deadpool where he's, like, making the mask, but he's also hunting Francis's men down. It kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
What did you think of him having to fall in the wrestling ring and seeing the Lucha Libre masks before he's even like, maybe I should cover my face?
I thought that was, I mean, honestly, like, it kind of was like, you're this intelligent and you're not thinking of that. But at the same time, I think it was kind of a nod to the Randy Savage scene.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, the inspiration for...
I was just waiting for old Bonesaw to kick out.
Fucking come out, just, Bonesaw is ready. Like, the hell are you?
So he just walked in from one universe to the other?
Exactly, man. I mean, J. Jonah Jameson did it, so shit, why not?
Not in this film.
What do you think about it taking almost a full hour to get into the movie before you see the actual Spider-Man suit? Too long, or did you enjoy the length?
This movie is like 2 hours and, what, 16 minutes?
45 minutes too long, if you ask me.
I think you really could have just done like a tight 2 hours, and just the first hour, you get the suit, second hour, you get the battle, and just the movie's over. But there were just, like, little things that just kind of got on my nerve, like, the later in the movie, like, I never even liked this on the first watch was the crane scene where like the construction workers uses the crane to help him like swing across the city to Oscorp Tower.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you think of before you answer that? Well, go ahead and answer it, then I'll ask you.
It's just kind of like cheesy to me. I was just like, like really, like but, you know, it's just like convenience. It's like, oh, like here's all these cranes. There's the tower. Here we go.
And then did you really need three full fighting scenes with the lizard?
I mean, it's back-to-back. It's the bridge attack, the sewer, and then the school fight.
And then the ending.
Yeah.
It's really four fight scenes. What'd you think of Mr. Is it Mr. Khan? How do you pronounce his first name?
Efren. Efren Khan, yeah.
Yeah. Zach, explain his character.
He's basically kind of like the quote-unquote go-between him and what we think is like Norman Osborn, the man in the shadow, kind of like, well, you know, he's basically that tropey character of here's your time. You have to create this vial or whatever. And it's like,
he is, oh shit, we didn't cast Norman Osborn. Let's just throw this random fucking guy in here.
Do you remember in Rise of the Planet of the Apes? It was that guy that was telling Franco, was like, hey, you know, do whatever you have to do, but get the vial ready. It's like that. And then he dies a horrible death. But I don't think... It's the car attack, and then you never see him again the rest of the movie.
Why add him in there?
I don't know. It's just one of those, like... It's one of those things, like, when you watch the film, yeah, I'm entertained by it, but, like, little things start popping up, and it's just like, what happened to that? Is that going to come back later in the next movie? Is it just like... Okay, I mean, we used him for like 10 minutes and that's it, or what?
The biggest breath of fresh air in this movie to me, though, is Emma Stone.
Absolutely.
As Gwen Stacy. I think they do this character justice compared to Spider-Man 3. And, you know, they show just how important she is as a character. And I think the writing for her was way better in this one movie than compared to Mary Jane in the last three together.
Yeah. And I like how, you know, we skip the whole stupid thing of, will she know or doesn't. You know, he goes and has dinner with her and her parents, and they're on the rooftop, and it's like, oh, okay, good. Like
he webbed her.
Yeah, he webbed her. It's like, okay, so you are Spider-Man. Okay, good.
Get over here, baby.
Yeah.
I'm Spider-Man, bitch.
And literally, like, that's another thing I have written down is,
And it took, what, two films? To get MJ to figure it out.
Yeah. And I like that in this one, how he's just like, hey, this is me.
Yeah.
I love the scene where, you know, she finds out and all that, and then she's talking to him about different things in the stands, and he just catches the football and throws the shit out of it and bends the uprights.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my God. Like, how do you explain that? I mean, in all honesty, like, that is unexplainable right there. Like, oh my God.
I did not enjoy him saving the little kid in the movie.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, you hate kids now.
Yeah. Well, this kid particularly.
It was a bad scene.
And I understand why the scene's written in there. First off, you're trying to, you know, use the flames and the explosion for the 3D effects. And you're trying to, you know, have him save at least somebody. But I just...
Well, what'd you think about the put on the mask? It gives you powers.
I mean, kids have to be coached sometimes, bro, you know, like...
It's like the little kid from Big Daddy, put on the magic sunglasses.
You know, you're
same
invisible.
Company, by the way.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, I don't know, maybe... Zach, what do you both think? Am I being too nitpicky, or...
No, it's kind of cringy.
It's not as a great movie as it seems out to be.
I mean,
oh, you're talking about the film overall?
Yeah, the film overall. It's, you know, it's the amazing Spider-Man.
But it's not amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like my biggest probably worry about it is that it just should not have been a reboot. I talked about it last week. It should have just been a fourth installment.
I mean, I kind of get the whole idea of, you know, we got to separate ourselves from what came before.
You don't have to.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you could do a fourth one. You don't even have to bring Raimi in, but just bring it. It's in that same universe.
They could have done what the Batman 90s films did. Even though they had to change the Bruce Wayne, they didn't reboot the damn movie.
Right.
You know, just the third movie set up all the characters in this one movie.
Mm-hmm.
Connors, Stacy, Peter was still in college.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Garfield looks like he's a college student.
No, but he's a high school student in this movie.
Doesn't need to be. I know.
I
did like the Flash, though.
Yeah, he was a bit more.
More Flash.
More of a dick in this movie than the last one.
Well, that too, but at the same time, he was more of a realistic person that could be a possible high school bully instead of Joe Manganiello. That's like,
And I like how they kind of hint that there was some history between Peter and Flash, you know, calling him Eugene. And then, you know, the whole basketball scene, which one of my favorite scenes of the movie
mm-hmm.
is when Peter's like, come get it from me. And he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Which ultimately leads to Parker's or Ben's death.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's you know, because I had to come do this, I had to switch shifts at work eventually. Did I mention how amazing Sally Field is compared to the...
Rosemary Harris.
I'm surprised that you remembered her name. I was going to say the old lady from Titanic. But, yeah. Such a better choice. I didn't think Aunt May needed to be that old.
I mean, no. Yeah. You know.
And I feel like she gets younger with Marissa Tomei in Homecoming.
Not that there's anything wrong
There's nothing wrong with that.
But. I mean, you know, we're about to get a 24-year-old Aunt May and then a 5-year-old Peter Parker. Like, shoot, you know.
Spider baby.
Baby boss.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Zach, probably one of all of our favorite scenes, Ed, you two, the school fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of that scene?
1,000% agree. That one had it. I mean, the camera angles were a little dizzying. To a small point, but I mean, other than that, you know,
I was just gonna add, they just did like a lot of like first person, like what it would look like to be Spider-Man in those scenes.
It's one of the biggest things I think about that is kind of more unusual in this film and kind of better for that matter is the whole spider cocoon, if I'm going to call it anything, that he does to the lizard.
Yeah.
Where he's just literally crawling around him. Like, that is a spider move, if any of them was an actual spider move. Like, that was
mm-hmm.
almost, to his point, slightly creepy, but just ingenious to do.
So. Yeah, like, I think it's a really great fight. I didn't like the score in that scene, to be honest. It was kind of like, like soapy and trying to make you feel bad for the lizards. Like, no, we're supposed to feel good. We're supposed to feel good that he's getting defeated.
Yep.
And then you have an awesome Stanley cameo where you just listen to the classical music. And
he don't give a damn.
No.
He's just putting books up, man. That's it.
But I mean, really, for the rest of the movie, I feel like that happens in the hour and, I don't know, 15-30 minute mark. And the rest of the movie is basically them trying to stop him from transforming the whole city into lizards.
Releasing that gas.
Yeah. And then it's like, you get the crane scene, which I was kind of like, eh. And then the building fight, Stacy's death, and then the end of the movie.
Which, I mean, you know...
Captain Stacy.
Captain Stacy dying was a huge thing in Peter and Gwen's relationship, just because, like... he feels conflicted now because he made a promise to her dad in his dying yeah. moments, but at the same time, this is the girl he loves. Like,
which it's, you know. it's shitty that like on the day of her dad's funeral, hey, I can't see you no more. Like, like wait like a couple more days,
or even just go to the funeral and just after that, exactly. Because yeah. I mean,
he didn't even go to the funeral.
Like that was shitty as hell.
Yeah,
but
I do like the building fight and kind of like the, which we didn't really talk about yet, but was the reveal, like two people get revealed of Spider-Man's identity with Gwen and her dad. And I did like Captain Stacy's involvement in the battle with the lizard. Like him using the shotgun and using the, what is it?
The nitrogen, I think.
Yeah, nitrogen.
You know, just because literally... lizards do not thrive in cold environments. I have two of my own, and you have to keep it above a certain degree, or even in your house with a relative temperature, or else they can actually die. And I mean, some of them are hardy creatures, but they can die. So, I mean, I like the realism of that. As well as, you know, the aggression of the lizard is true to most lizard species, for that matter, due to, you know, like with a bearded dragon, you can't put two males in the same tank. They will kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
They really will. So, I mean, two alphas going against each other, not a good thing with Spider-Man and the lizard.
This has been Lizard Talk. Come back next week.
Yeah. Well, I just like the realism that this whole movie portrays, you know, for that matter, as far as much as you can with this comic character.
Besides him looking like a really shitty version of a man lizard from neck up.
Yeah. So, you know, we can skip to the end. What did you guys think of the prom? You know, the scene. I like the acting between Garfield and Larry of him trying to do the promise to stay away from Gwen because it's just a dangerous life to knowing that he's Spider-Man. But it also, it's good and it's bad, to be honest. It's good because it sets up for what comes next, but at the same time, it's like, oh, well, you know, that's going to get broken and something's going to happen to Gwen, whether it be this movie or the next one. So,
I mean, you know, for the comic fans who knew what was going to happen eventually, you know, we all kind of seen it coming. Just when, more than anything, and how, for that matter, if they're going to portray the real thing or not. But in this, you know, with the endings, I don't know. It leaves kind of a... It's on a good note and all that, I guess, but at the same time, it's just kind of...
We know where we're going.
Right, you know. So, I mean, it's kind of just like, okay, you know, why did you have to go through all that BS and go through, you know, different things such as what you're explaining, you know, Johnny, the origin as well as Ben's, you know, killing and all that, which, I mean, kind of like what you said, Zach, it could have shortened the movie by like 15, 20 minutes, you know. I mean, even with the parents included, you know, it could have shortened a lot of different things, so,
yeah. And then we get our first quote unquote credit. Well, we only get one post credit scene in this Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man.
You're talking about the mid credit scene?
Yeah, the mid credit scene. That's irritating in on itself because knowing what comes next, that has no resolution whatsoever. It sets it up to be kind of like this, you know, the man in the shadows, like, did you tell him about his father? And then that's it. It's just like, okay, wait 2 more years and you'll probably see what happens.
Leave the boy alone.
Yeah.
Who was he supposed to be? The man behind the myth?
I don't know.
I didn't get it. And even kind of knowing what happens in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I'm like, this is just a waste of... I could have... You know, if I'm sitting in the theaters watching this, I'm thinking... Dude, I could have been like 5 minutes out in traffic getting my ass back home. You got me sitting here waiting and... It's nobody?
Yeah. And I feel like you were high on this movie until the rewatch and you're just like, eh.
I was really excited last week going into this. I'm like, you know what? There's going to be some really fun things to point out. I feel like he's a better, I know I'm going to get some flack. I feel like he's a better Spider-Man. Because there's a lot of stuff I enjoyed about Andrew Garfield in general. He was way more talkative in the suit.
Yeah.
He talked more with his head and his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him playing around with the webs. He felt more like he enjoyed it. Tobey Maguire felt stiff. He was like, why me? Why do I have to be Spider-Man? I'm just going to throw my suit in the trash can every chance I get. Emo. I didn't enjoy it. But with Andrew Garfield, he kind of had fun with the responsibilities. He enjoyed, you know... hunting bad guys. He enjoyed the web making. He enjoyed... He just felt more alive.
Yeah, and he enjoyed finding out the secrets.
True.
I mean, he was more sarcastic in this, which was, you know, Peter Parker.
That's a characteristic of Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, because literally Spider-Man is the guy he wants to be more than anything.
He's like Flash. He's like the Flash for... You know, he's kind of like DC's Flash. He's a young punk kid who enjoys being Spider-Man. He enjoys, you know, he's a smartass.
Where, like, Peter or Toby with Spider-Man was kind of more, I'm going to say, like, trying to be professional in a way. Like,
I feel like he, you know, thinking back on the last three movies after watching this one, taking some positive notes from this one, he's kind of like a crybaby in the first three movies.
He's got a lot of one-liners that are okay, but yeah, most of it's just kind of like.
And if you ask me who the better actor is between the two. All these years later, Zach, Ed, I don't know if you guys agree, Andrew Garfield has kind of like stepped up and done more serious roles than Tobey Maguire has.
Tobey has disappeared from the limelight quite a bit. I mean, I think like 85%, if I'm not mistaken. Because literally, like, name the last.
He shouldn't have danced in Spider-Man 3. That took his career away.
Well, I mean, name the last like five movies he's done.
Brothers.
Brothers was a big one. He was the voice in The Boss Baby.
Okay.
That doesn't count, but anyway.
I mean, you know, it's a project, I guess.
But I mean, Garfield, he like even before this, he was nominated for Social Network, and then he did Hacksaw Ridge, which was an amazing performance. And, you know, he has two films out this year that are getting some Oscar buzz.
Is that Martin Scorsese movie he was in?
Silence.
Yeah.
So he's a way more capable actor than Toby ever was. Oh, the only other thing that Toby's done since Spider-Man is The Great Gatsby. That's the only thing that he's done.
But don't get me wrong, when Toby can go, he can go.
Yeah.
But it's just, and it's probably, it was just the writing, I think, of Sam Raimi with Toby as Peter Parker's, you know, and I didn't even think about this until watching The Amazing Spider-Man for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Toby's Parker was just, he just cried.
Yeah.
Complaining about everything, throwing things away, you know, trying to dust off that old hag Aunt May, trying to, you know.
A huge thing was his trying to be an involvement and not trying to be an involvement with Mary Jane, for that matter, too. That was a huge thing right there. Because that was a huge character scope for him.
Go back and listen to our episode last week. That was one of the most annoying
things about that movie.
About the whole trilogy is just the love-hate relationship between those two.
And that's the thing, because like you can clearly tell Kirsten Dunst is not having fun with these movies. Emma Stone, even though, yeah, they were dating, it looks like she's a blast to be around. Yeah. You know, she wants to be there and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's even since like Superbad, for that matter. She just seems like she has that positive energy just,
like,
about her.
She like expels like
she doesn't enthusiasm. She doesn't think her shit doesn't stink. To where Kirsten Dunst is like, I'm doing one of these movies. I don't want to be here. I'm here for the paycheck.
I got Fargo to go film.
Oh my god. Do you have any favorite scenes, Ed? We'll start with you.
I've got to say the high school fight, that was really cool between Lizard and Spider-Man, for that matter, as well as some of the different tech scenes that he's building his tech in. Mm-hmm. I like that. And then even some of the little scenes between him and Connors, you know, kind of the play on wits with each other was all right. But yeah, those two definitely, and then the side one was kind of all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree. The school fight, the building fight, and pretty much anything with Garfield and Stone, I thought were definitely the limelight of the film.
If I had to pick any favorite scenes, I would say the dinner scene with Stacy and Andrew Garfield going back and forth about, you know, what Spider-Man's trying to do compared to what the police can and can't do. I thought that was great dialogue between those two. And then right after that, you get kind of he webbed her, pulls her close, tells him who he is. I enjoyed that. The tunnels where Spider-Man is, you know,
the vibrations. He's playing the game and he feels the vibrations of the lizards crawling. That
very,
was
very smart scene. Yeah, well written. That was smart. And it made sense to what he was doing.
Yeah.
And then I would probably have to say my next favorite scene would probably be the dialogue after the funeral, where, you know, it's raining and Gwen Stacy is with Peter and he's just, you know,
I can't be with you.
Telling her how it is.
Yeah.
And the ending, the very, very ending where you get the music, Spider-Man, and then the very, very final shot of him before it goes to the credits. I thought this final scene was way better than anything you get in 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, because, you know, he says the
basically
the most like, important promises are the best ones to break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are the most fun.
The most fun, yeah.
And it was like the best way, I think, you could end a Spider-Man movie going into any other Spider-Man film.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you just get the two funerals for endings 1 and 3, and then the wedding at the end of 2. And it's just, yeah, feels pretty shitty for those first three, but I really, really enjoyed the ending going into the credits scene.
Yeah. So let's grade it out. What kind of star rating are you going to give this, Johnny?
Oh, you want me to go first?
You want us to go first? No. Can just like lead up to a disappointing grade.
I got you.
Ed's going to love this one. So Ed, you go first.
I'd give it a 7. I like it to a decent degree. I do think there are faults and all that good stuff, but I do think it was a good refresher, as well as a better take on a few of the characters, for that matter. If you were, you know, kind of like what we said, weren't a great iteration. But take the good with the bad, I guess.
I'm going to go slightly higher. I'm going to go an 8. I mean, I thought it was a fun rewatch. It was better. It hasn't really aged well, to be honest, but to me, I still think it's a fun film. So
it's fun.
It's fine. Just go ahead and say it.
It's fun. Here comes the 4. It's fun up until you get the whole idea of the main bad guy being a horrible CGI lizard that doesn't very... the guy... Dr. Connors, to me, just wasn't a fun villain for me. I did not enjoy... The lizard, the only thing I'm dreading about No Way Home other than the girth is the lizard. I hope he does not have a big scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him being a fun main attraction.
Yeah.
He's not somebody who would sell movie tickets to me, and he's not somebody who makes me want to go out and see a movie. So I didn't enjoy him at all in this movie.
Well, go ahead.
And if it wasn't for that, this movie would probably get a higher grade for me. I'm going to give it a 6. It is what it is. Andrew Garfield was great. Dennis Leary was amazing.
Emma Stone
was terrific. Sally Field. Everything was really fine. And if it wasn't for the lizard, I would have given this probably a 7.5 or an 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I never give half ratings, but the lizard just did not do it for me at all. I didn't enjoy really any scene that he was in.
Yeah,
pretty much. I think it would have been better to tie him in with the parents part, and then he was the mentor to
start the movie off with him already being the lizard, and he ate the fucking parents.
Well, or killed.
A24 vibes.
But yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of agree with that. Actually, you know, he was the start villain, and then you get to the bigger whoever the fuck villain.
And this movie to me didn't have an Easter egg, but you know how some Spider-Man movies or superhero movies have a cliffhanger?
Mm.
It had no cliffhanger. That mid-credit scene was terrible.
Yeah.
So,
like, if that was the end of the movie, that's it. Like, yeah, you're good.
Terrible.
So let me ask you guys this, and we'll get out of here. You know, this film came out in 2012. It was basically sandwiched in between Avengers, which came out in May, and then a couple weeks later was The Dark Knight Rises. Do you think... Yeah, this movie made a lot of money, but... Compared to those two, you know.
I mean, it still made $750 million. On top of that, you know, half a million.
Yeah, but I mean, you have the Avengers, which was like a 5-year buildup, and then you have the conclusion to Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Even if it came out a year before, a year after, I don't think that saves
this movie.
The movie, how many years later?
Yeah.
Almost 10 years later.
Well, yeah, 10 years next year.
Yeah, I don't think it just didn't age well to me. I enjoyed it the first time around, honestly. I thought it was a great movie, but just watching it this time around, doing the Spider-Man digging into that we are for, you know, watching them back to back to back, like we did the Friday 13th movies, it just did not age well. And mm-hmm. watching them right after the Sam Raimi trilogy, I'm just like, it's not a breath of fresh air after 3 like everybody thinks it is. To me, at least. That's the best way I can put it. Because after 3, everybody's like, oh, The Amazing Spider-Man, finally something different, something better. Is it really?
This was a very different review. I thought we were all going to be like...
You thought we were all going to just Limp Bizkit all over it?
Basically.
No. No.
The fuck does that mean?
Look it up. I just don't think... It wasn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. But I do want to hear everybody else's star rating, and we will read it Monday when we talk all things Matrix Revolutions. Send us in your Amazing Spider-Man review. Send us your thoughts. Was I too harsh? Was everybody else too kind? Let us know, and we'll read the emails aloud Monday, the first episode of December, guys. It's hard to believe this is the first episode of December, and we're just a few weeks away from January 2022.
Yep.
So, Ed, do you have any other... final nail in the coffin before we get out of here and not discuss The Amazing Spider-Man again?
You know, just looking forward to 2. It's got some elements in it, we'll say that. On top of just, you know, y'all's takes. But on top of that, not really, no, man. Yeah, so this is Ed saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
Zach, do you have anything you want to add before we put the final nail in the coffin with The Amazing Spider-Man?
No, I mean, like I said, I think I enjoyed it out of all of us the most. But, I mean, like I said, I would agree with you. It's not like a big fresh relief, like considering what comes. I think it's way to, I think we can agree it's better than 3. So there's that.
It's true. Because I gave 3 a 5.
Yep.
So, yeah. Should be fun. Monday, December the 6th, we talk all things Matrix Revolutions. Go check them out. All the Matrix movies are on HBO Max. Send us in your star rating for Matrix Revolutions, Scream 3, Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man. And then don't forget, send us your top 5 Thanksgiving Day items. Send us in your top 5 movies from 2000, and we will read them all right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Spider-Man was from New York, right? I made you happy, nigga. Catch me at the X with OG at a Yankee game. Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee king. You should know.